Just a couple of introductory comments. Obviously, we're very pleased with the results in the Te Tai Tokoro by-election. We lifted the Labour vote from 29% to 41% of the vote. The big loser was the Māori Party. And the big winner is Kelvin, who's very strongly placed to win that seat back. And we intend to win the other seats back as well on the back of that sort of result. Other issues, I would wish the government well on its trip to India. Really important for us to complete the process of a free trade agreement, something that I was proud to have commenced in my time as Minister of Trade. India's got a lot of potential, but I think we can't ignore the potential that's in the existing second biggest market for New Zealand and our fastest growing trading partner, which is China. And I've got to say, I was deeply concerned about the total resignation of the Beachhead Advisory Board last week. To have somebody like David Mann, who's worked there for 26 years, been a shining light for New Zealand and China, actually resign with the whole of his board is very bad news for New Zealand. The free trade agreement opened up the door to trade, but I said at the time, we've got to make sure the government and the private sector are working together to go through that door. And with this sort of shock resignation, and obviously a huge amount of ill will between the advisory board and the government, this is something that John Key needs to address personally and put to rights. The last comment I'd make briefly is there was a report out, I think, yesterday showing that New Zealand had the third or fourth highest level of diabetes in the world. We have the third highest level of obesity. I think that's further evidence for a policy that brings healthy food within the range, the affordability range of all families. The Auckland University Medical School said very clearly the best way to bring down problems like obesity and therefore diabetes is to lower the cost of healthy foods. And that's what Labor is doing with its policy on fresh fruit and vegetables.
Mr. Glove, how realistic is it, do you think, to say that you could win now the seven Māori seats back?
Well, that would certainly be our objective. We made huge inroads into Honeharawera's majority on Saturday night. The Māori Party was decimated. That's got to be bad news for Peter Sharples and Rahui Katane and Te Uraroa Whalawhal. Those are seats that are under direct pressure from Labour. I believe we can win them.
And you say you could pick up Tariana Turia's seat, don't you?
That's going to be one of the harder ones to get, but I certainly wouldn't rule that out. We've got a strong candidate down there who is the daughter-in-law of the Tumuaki of the Ratna Church. She's also elected to the local council down there. She shows that she has the potential to be electable, so I wouldn't rule out any of the seats coming back to Labour.
What does this infighting mean between Mana and the Māori Party? You know, Honi Haruita said he'd like to do some kind of, look at some kind of deal. Peter Sharples yesterday said, sorry mate, you're dreaming, no thank you. Does that allow the Labour Party to potentially come to the middle in some of those areas? Or not?
Well, I don't think Māori people like to see the squabbling between different political parties. You know, it's all very well for Honi now to say he wants to talk, but just 2 days ago, he was using pretty foul language about what he thought of the Māori Party and what they'd done. That's not the basis for a working relationship within Parliament, let alone any sort of coalition deal for the next election.
Is Labour prepared to work with the Mana Party in a coalition?
No, I've said before, I've ruled out Honeharawera, and for two reasons. One, his ideology is quite different from that of the Labour Party. And he, most importantly, he would not be a reliable coalition partner. The Māori Party have found that everybody that Hone has ever worked with, sooner or later, falls out with him. That's not the basis for a stable coalition government.
But it could be Hone plus one or two. You'd surely need that support.
Well, yes, but if you look at the one or two, I think that you'll find that the people that would be elected for the Mana Party would be people at the extreme end of politics, and I'm not interested in doing deals that involve extreme policies.
One of them might be Sue Bradford, who you've worked with together in the past on legislation.
Yeah, I don't think that the Mana Party, frankly, as a Maori party and a party that promotes separatism, is actually going to look at putting at the top of the list people that are not Maori.
What's one of its separatist policies?
Oh, I think in terms of Honeharawera's personal views, that he wouldn't want to see his children date a Pākehā. That's separatist. you couldn't get away with saying that, nor could I, without being labelled much worse than separatist. We'd be labelled racist.
Cabinet today has been discussing the reinsurance problem for Christchurch and other local bodies around the country. What would Labor do in this position were it the government?
Well, you certainly can't hang the local governments out to dry. They've got to be able to get reassurance. That means central government working very closely with local government to try to get a deal to get that reinsurance in place, and that's what I imagine they'll do.
The anti-MMP campaign is launching today, called Vote for Change, and some of the names are Jordan Williams, Simon Nusk and Michael Bassett and Bob Harvey also involved. What sort of credibility do you think they'll have in the campaign?
Well, look, they're entitled to launch their campaign. I don't agree with them. I agree with the principle that every vote should be of equal value, and that's something that MMP achieves. That's why, personally, I'll be backing MMP.
Just going back to Te Tai Tokoro, and the Honiharawira was again saying today that Labor spent tens of thousands of dollars on your campaign. Can you put a cost on the Labor campaign?
Yeah, nothing like what he's talking about. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd outspent the Labor Party. He had two buses painted up and travelling all around the electorate. Look, we put up, you can see what we spent money on. We put up probably about 180 hoardings. We put out two leaflets. Pretty much the rest of it was voluntary effort.
And what's the cost of that?
Oh, I don't know, to be truthful, but it would be within the limit set down for a by-election, which is probably, I think it's about $25,000 is the limit. I doubt that we even spent to the full limit.
Are you any closer to announcing some more of your crucial policy for this year, given that World Cup time frame and given the leader?
Day by day we're closer, by definition. Look, we're working hard at that policy at the moment, a number of different policies, including our taxation policy, but I can't give you a time frame for that yet. We want to get it right first.
Do you think we'll see it next month, for instance?
I think you'll see it well before the election.
Have you come across ex-taxpayer-funded campaign against youth rates and using parliamentary money? What do you think of that?
Well, they've no doubt checked it out with the Parliamentary Services Commission, and it will have been approved by the Parliamentary Services Commission, so that would validate the expenditure. On the campaign itself, I suppose it's both National and ACT saying that the best answer they can come up with on youth unemployment is to slash the wages for young people. Well, you can imagine what the takeaway bars and various other businesses will do. They'll lay off the older workers in order to put on younger workers at a lower pay rate. That doesn't solve unemployment, it just transfers it.
Back to the MMP referendum, so you said it's your vote, you will support MMP. Mm. So is that a Labor Party policy?
Well, the Labor Party policy is that this is a decision for New Zealanders to make, not for politicians. And that's the appropriate policy, and I agree with that. But I think you'll find that most people within the Labor Party think that MMP is a fair system based on, no matter where you live, your vote does count and it's of equal value with everybody else. And I think that's pretty fundamental to democracy.
And so do you know of any other campaigns that will be set out to counter this anti-MMP campaign?
Oh, look, I think there'll be groups out in the community that will be campaigning either way, and that's perfectly legitimate. It's up to both groups to make their arguments. And it's up to the people of New Zealand with their vote to determine what system they want for the future. But for me, if a party gets 20% of the vote, then surely it should have 20% of the representation in Parliament. And I want a person, whether they're in a safe seat held by the party they support or held by a different party, I want them to know that their vote counts and it counts equally with everyone else's.
Tim Grosser says the Indian Free Trade Agreement will be harder to achieved than the Chinese one. Do you think that's a fair view, and what sticking points will there be?
I think it is a fair view because the tariff levels in India are much higher than those that existed in China, and there has in the past been quite a strong amount of protectionism. But India is a rapidly growing economy. It's got a rapidly growing middle class that wants the sort of things that we produce. And they also want food security. And New Zealand is a country that provides good quality food, as well as other commodities, as well as, hopefully, other processed goods. I don't think it's going to be easy, but we wouldn't have gone into it if we didn't think we could succeed. We went into it, we laid the foundation, and we're supporting this government building on that foundation.
We're up against some big players there. Do you think we're going to be at the bottom of the queue?
Well, unfortunately, with China, we were the first in, and we've still got that first player advantage. We're still the only developed country in the world that has a free trade agreement with China. And that's been a huge opportunity for us, which is why it distresses me hugely for David Mann as the resigning chair of the advisory board to be saying that we've squandered that opportunity. That's a real worry. I think the government should be taking that seriously, and the government needs to intervene to sort that out. In India, to answer your question, there's been 10 other free trade agreements. The European Community is about to complete theirs. So we'll be following in the footsteps of others, but it'll still be important to us and those people that export apples, wine, dairy and other things that face big tariff barriers at the moment.
In terms of free trade as a whole, you're generally in support of it, I think it'd be safe to say, but then you've got all these concerns about TPP. Is it just TPP, just the American example that you're worried about?
Oh no, look, in every free trade agreement that you go into, you've got to go in fighting hard to protect the things that are fundamental to you. So there's never a carte blanche going to be provided in terms of negotiating position to your professional negotiators. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, Pharmac shouldn't be on the agenda for a free trade negotiation. It's got nothing to do with free trade. It's got a lot to do with the powerful pharmaceutical companies and the money they provide to senators in the United States. That's not a ground for giving way on that, and the government shouldn't give away on that.